Good morning. I have to take a deep breath before praying John Wesley's covenant prayer. It's an intimidating and even frightening prayer to pray. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. It's to say, God, I'll suffer for you. I'll give up my vocation for you. I'll receive disgrace for you. I'll be hungry for you. I'll give up my possessions for you. What if God takes you up on that? I generally try to avoid suffering. That's why I don't go on long runs or watch Hallmark movies. My vocation is at the heart of who I am. I don't want to be disgraced. I like food. I like my stuff, right? I like my TV and my guitars and my books. And Jesus looks at us and says, yeah, I know, but do you love me more? I want to say, yes, Lord, of course. Isn't it obvious? But I know my own heart. And I'm not a perfect man. And so I do say yes, but I can't do it on my own. Not by strength or by might, but only by your Spirit, God. Augustine once prayed, God, give me chastity and continence, but not yet. He wasn't ready to be sanctified. He wanted to live out of his flesh. And we've all been there. But that's not good enough for Jesus. In Romans 12:1, Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What does that mean? Well, that's Paul's way of talking about offering our whole selves, everything we have. There was a time when people could atone for sin by offering up animals for sacrifice, but God wants more than that. God doesn't want a burnt offering of bulls or goats. In the new covenant of Jesus, God wants our whole lives, everything. We have. That is the sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. We ask God, what do you want? And God says, everything. I want everything. I want your heart, your mind, your body, your money, your desires, your marriage, your singleness. I want it all. God wants to renew us and to transform us. But as good Wesleyans, we say he only transforms what we yield to him in obedience. Now, this is one of the hardest messages to get across to people in our culture. We have to be changed. We have to be changed. We're not okay on our own. And people will say, God loves all of us just as we are, and that's true. God does love us just as we are, but Christ did not die on the cross so we could stay as we are. Christ died on the cross to put sin and death to death. And that's the work he does in our hearts when we receive him. Paul hits this theme hard in chapter 6, 7, and 8 of Romans, and he picks it up again here in chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't it easy to be conformed to this world? All we have to do is sit back and let it happen. It's like taking a bubble bath. Our friends, our neighbors, enemies, advertisers, movie stars, politicians, they'll all tell us what we should think and what we should value and how we should live. And the easiest way to deal with this is just to soak it all in. Yeah, I do need that, actually. Yeah, I should get what's mine. Yes, I should look that way. Yes, I should hate those people. And that's the way of death. But there's a way of life. When we offer our whole lives to God as a living sacrifice, God changes us. Our values change. Our desires change. And we live differently. There's so much at stake, and maybe that's why it's so hard. We're giving up control, or really the illusion of control. And we don't like that. It takes faith to turn your life over to God. There have been a lot of times in my life when I've had to ask myself this question. Is the faith that I've proclaimed in my preaching, in my teaching, true? Do I actually believe the things I've been saying? Has Jesus died for my sin? Has he called us to make disciples? Has he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us? Does he abide with us in the work of the kingdom? Is he here? Is he present? Is he real? Is it true? Because if that faith is true, then the smartest thing I can do is base every decision I make on the reality of God's goodness. The smartest thing I can do is to live my life as if I am perpetually in the presence of a living and loving and active God. And let me tell you from experience that when you do that, God will meet you. It may not be the way you expected, but God will meet you. When you give God control of your life, when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, when you say to God, this life is yours now, do with it what you will, God will take you on the most incredible journey. He will send you to places you never thought about going. He'll put people in front of you you never would have met otherwise. He'll give you opportunities you never imagined. He'll give you friends. He'll give you a family. Whatever you give to him, he will multiply for the building up of his kingdom. And so, yeah, I say the covenant prayer. And it's sobering to think about what I'm really saying and to give my life entirely to God, to submit my will to his, to give up control. But Jesus doesn't ask us for part of our lives. He asks us for everything. And if we give him everything, he'll give us so much more. Let's pray. Lord, as we recommit our lives to you today, move within our hearts and make that real for us. As we say these words of the covenant prayer, God, give us the power to be the kind of Christians we're saying we want to be. conform our will to yours. Put sin and death to death in our hearts. Make us ever more faithful servants. Show us by your Holy Spirit, God, that we're your sons and daughters, that you've adopted us into your household, and we can trust you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.